Hey, listener. This podcast is called Trigger Warning Romance for a reason. It is intended for an 18 plus audience due to the adult context and triggers that may be discussed in each episode. Please check the show notes for a full list of triggers and proceed with caution. You have been properly warned. It's time to count off the triggers.
Hello and welcome to Trigger Warning Romance, everybody. I'm Nat.
I'm Tori.
And I'm Lo.
And we have a three-way episode for you today. It's our first three-way.
Woohoo! Well, it's not my first three, but
I am the only prude on the podcast. It's fine.
You should try it sometime. Oh, wait, you don't like to share. No, you're good.
I don't like to share. And
I think Mr. Savage would not be thrilled.
I think he would be okay if it was a lady. I don't think he would be okay if it was a man. And I'm not really interested in a lady, so.
Sounds like a stalemate. A perfect situation for monogamy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't know what to do with a lady. That's intimidating.
I will tell you the first time.
Already got off the rails.
But would it be us if we didn't?
No, go ahead, love, please.
I was going to say, the first time is very awkward if both of it's the first time for more than one person.
Yeah. Yes.
Because everybody's kind of like, what do I do? Can I touch? And so you're very much like, I don't want to offend. And then the second time, like, well, touch me here, touch me here.
You have to be willing to say, I want you to do X, Y, or Z. If you don't communicate in that situation, everybody is going to have a sucky time.
Okay.
Not in the fun sense.
That's not the point. Like, you want the sucky time, but the fun sucky time, not the shitty sucky time. So.
Welcome to Trigger Warning Romance, where we give you three-way advice, apparently. And by we, I mean Lo and Tori, because I'm just going to sit here quietly and be like, I only read about it and it sounds great in books.
Great on paper. No execution, please.
Speaking of no execution, please, we are going to talk about something we usually don't talk about on this podcast because we're very positive on this podcast, but we're going to talk about how and why we DNF books. So that's going to be a fun little tidbit of like, why? What makes you DNF a book? And what makes you maybe pick up a book later on by the same author that you have DNF'd previously?
Well, before we jump into that, can I take a moment?
Yeah, of course.
I just want to tell our listeners, thank you. I know that I have been absent for a really, really long time. And I appreciate the fact that you guys haven't forgotten about me. Life has just not been such that the podcast has been possible for me. So it is nice to be back.
We are really excited I'm really happy to have you back. I've missed you. And I know that you've been feeling kind of crappy lately. And that's why we brought a little backup in. And I think it'll be fun to have a three-way fun conversation. But I feel like I missed you because we don't text as much. You know, I don't want to bother you because I'm like half the time, like you have to rest. And I'm like, she'll text me when she needs to. But yes, I missed you. And welcome back to the
insanity.
Hot mess of a show.
So when and why do you DNF a book?
I love this question. I'm a super huge mood reader. So I have two types of DNF. I have my temporary DNF where I am not in the mood for this. And that can happen at any time. It could happen when I open the book and I read the first chapter or 75% in and I'm like, oh, there's a bunny trail. I'm going to follow that. Or there's my permanent DNFs where there is just something in the book where I absolutely positively have zero desire to infuse that into my happy thoughts, which is what occur when I read. I think for me, the biggest thing, I get the ick when, for me, characters change personality like out of nowhere. When your author's built this character to do something and then they do something so out of character. And I know there's plot twists where sometimes there's stuff going on in the background, but there's sometimes it's just a pass.
Sometimes it's like you're reading and you've got your characters, and then they stop writing the female character and they start with a whole other one with the same name, but they're so different.
Yes.
I can't cope. I don't do well with that. I am big into continuity.
I think that's one of my biggest, like, immediate pull me out of the story when the character is no longer acting like you've built them to act. And I get it. Like, authors have a thought process when they go into the book. Look, this is what I see my character doing. And we all know, well, I know because I work with authors. I don't know what you guys do outside of this with others. But I know sometimes authors will be like, yeah, well, I said to go left and my character went right and said F you and that way. And like, I get those situations, but sometimes it's just so hard for a reader to like pivot with the author. And that's where I'm pivoting my ass right into an Omegaverse to like freshen myself up and start all over again.
I DNF a lot when the female character specifically is too stupid to live. I cannot when a female character is too stupid to live. It just makes me so angry. I'm like, how could you deserve to die. And I can't have, it makes me so mad.
That phrase, though, too stupid to live. I will forever use that in my reviews from now on.
Oh, you've never heard that before?
TSTL. That's how I put it in my reviews. Save some typing.
I just can't. Like, and this happens a lot in like horror movies. I've noticed, like, and not just with females, but like in general, like you're like, oh, like even in TikTok, like you see those like funny memes of like people making fun of horror movies. They're like, oh, this person's never going to survive because they like walk into the creepy house, like the clearly creepy house.
You have a death wish. At this point, you're just saying, hey, here's my neck. I'm gonna stretch it for you. Nice little diagonal line right here. You'd be good.
I'm just going to lay down.
I can think of one female character who was too stupid to live, but I liked the book so much that I was willing to overlook it.
Look, I'm gonna preface this with there are always outliers. However, for the most part, if the female character is too stupid to live, then it makes me angry. Also, if they're just like way too accepting of the situation, because we read so much dark romance, when it's not realistic. Like, I get it, we're all in a fantasy world, but like, if a character gets kidnapped and she's like, oh, okay, I guess this is just my life now. I'm going to be his little, like, whore. Girl, like, push a little, you know? He will beat you to submission, I promise you, with his giant dick.
Give a little fight. Give a little challenge.
Yeah, or like in paranormal romances when they're like a demon pops up and the person's just like, oh, okay, I'm just like totally accepting of this situation.
I think along the lines of too like accepting, it's another version of too accepting. When the guy fucks up and there is no grovel.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Put it down. Immediately. No.
Yes.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Actually, matter of fact, I want my money back. I didn't ask for this shit.
Immediately.
Absolutely.
There is one exception to the rule for me so far. It's an MC romance, and it's a why choose. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys fucks up. Well, all of them fuck up. Only one of them is like not going to apologize. But it's his personality where he's just like, I'd do it again. And she's like, well, fuck me sideways. I mean, I still want to get fucked, so I guess I'll forgive you. But normally, if there's no grovel, I'm immediately out. Because the first commandment of Lowe's reading is, thy grovel shall match thy fuck up.
I also don't like when the female is just like, there's no grovel, and she's like, okay with it. Like, put him in cold storage. Like, make him suffer. I'm here for men suffering. So make him suffer until he apologizes and grovel. Like, don't still give in to him. Just
because he has a big dick and knows how to use it does not excuse bad behavior.
Exactly.
We read a book, and I don't remember which one it was right off the top of my head, but the guy had a mold of his penis made so that when he was fucking her, he could fuck her from behind with the dildo.
That's the only way she was ever going to feel another one.
That was the only way she was going to fill another one.
Okay, but I have read this. I can't think of the name right now, but I have read this.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, but I have we read it for the podcast? I think we have.
I think so.
I don't know.
I think it was one of the Anna Zayers, maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, if we sit here for an hour, we probably won't remember it. But if we do remember it, we'll put it in show notes. Or if you remember it, you text us and let us know, listeners.
Please and thank you. Do you have a trope that immediately draws you out of a book and where you're like, nope, I'm good. I'm out.
I mean, yes. Why choose?
We know.
Don't king shame me. I don't like it.
I'm not king shaming. You're king shaming us because we
No, I am. I am putting this forth. You know, Tori likes it. Lo likes it. You guys get together. You do like a whole bunch of them. I will happily listen to those episodes and giggle along with you, but don't make me read it.
I don't like friends to lovers. I don't want it to be someone who is their best friend that they've known forever and they're secretly pining for and maybe they will and maybe they won't. I don't like that.
Slow burns also turn me off.
Okay, so I will do a slow burn if there's some good tension, like that they almost fuck every, like, and something always happens because you just know when they finally fuck, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
But I think for me, immediately, I have started getting used to it over the last few months, but other women drama. And I mean, it, like, not obscure where she thinks there's other women drama, but it's really not. I'm talking your face, blatant. He's fucking around on her, cheating, or he's allowing other women to put her down.
Yeah.
Or even other man drama, because we shouldn't mean you finna do my MMC like that. I don't think so. I cannot do it. Immediately, no thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Also, miscommunication. Because that goes back to, like, it's just too stupid. Like, just freaking talk about it, you know? Like, don't be an idiot. Just talk about it. I read, it was a Dramini, like, fan fiction situation. And the whole thing was miscommunication. And it just made me so angry. And I DNF'd it, like, because I really liked it in general. Because it was an Omegaverse Dramini, which was, like, interesting. Yes, that's all you want. And I liked the writing and it was really interesting. Let me tell you that much. It was a very interesting, well done book. And I would have totally read the whole thing if it wasn't for the miscommunication. But that was one of the tags, which I should have known going in, but it was just so hyped up at the time, I guess on TikTok maybe. And I love Dramini and I love Omegaverse. So I was totally for this. And like I said, it was really well done. Like, the Omegaverse really worked. The way she explained how and why, like, totally made sense. And it was really well done. But the miscommunication killed me. And me being a dark romance writer, lover, not writer. I have no brain cells for writing, especially not right now. So I was, like, more into... because Draco was, like, way too nice. Like, he was just, like, so nice. And oh, he was obviously an alpha and Hermione was an omega. And who's that other guy that was that nerdy guy that turned hot?
Neville.
Neville was like the bad guy. And I was like, I want that story because like Neville accosted her in like the hallway and like dragged her away because she smelled so good. And I was like, okay, I'm all for that.
Okay, but I want that. See, this communication doesn't turn me up. So I'm going to have to add, I'm going to definitely have to like,
okay. I think you would like it then because.
Especially because I do not hate the miscommunication trope. Okay. I do speed read from the miscommunication trope from the moment of miscommunication to the final communication. I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, okay. Then you're going to have to speed read the entire thing because miscommunication is like page two.
Oh.
I'm telling you, like it was, I tried to finish because I really liked it otherwise. I really, really liked it otherwise. Someone's going to have to tell me what happened. I don't know.
So Tori, what's your absolute no-go trope?
I read primarily reverse harem.
You love it.
I read the other stuff, but reverse harem is where my heart is. And I hate it when you have like an established harem and the female main character doesn't know them, but just instantly accepts them, all of them at the same time, when it's not like an Omegaverse that it's a, there's a scent match or anything like that, but it's just a human female with human guys. And she's like, oh yeah, this is good. And so you miss all of the get it to know each other and all of the character building. And I don't like that. That bothers me a lot.
You like that contention that each person has their own relationship that they build, and you like to see the build up to the happily ever after, not just the, oh, there's five guys that want to stick their dicks in me. Okay. I mean, that, okay. But I get that, because like, how do you have a kitchen table dinner where none of you fucking really know each other?
Yeah.
Like, y'all know what each other's hoo-ha and ding-a-ling look like, which, I mean, that's a great start. But like, I need a little substance.
I need the substance. And if something is all smut, I can't read it. I cannot do all smut. I have to have a plot.
Can't relate.
I mean, the smut could be the plot, but I get that. So when I come upon these crazy ass novellas, it will not be you. Did you read Mating with the Mellows, Nat?
No.
It's a peep. Like, you know, the Easter marshmallow?
Oh.
Peep romance.
I'm going to have to look at that. I read the door one.
So good. I love Unhinged,
right? I read that one. No, smut doesn't bother me, as we know, because I don't like slow burns. So I want them banging all the time. I mean, I do want a little bit of plot in there as well, obviously. But the plot has to be well done. It has to make sense. It can't just be like sprinkled in just for like the hell of it to make it not erotica. Like, you got to put some smut in there, you know? There's also nothing wrong with erotica. Like, I'm all for erotica sometimes. You need a little bit of like just spice.
So we have a nice range. You need real good plot. You're okay with just a little, makes sense. Me, as long as there's an HEA, as long as at the end of the day, when I close that book, I know they're finna be together forever. That's the only plot I need. The whole book could be around getting them together. Like, literally, that's it. There is nothing external going on. And I'm a happy little camper.
But my biggest thing that I have run across since Nat and I started talking 4 years ago, 3.5.
How old is my little kid? It's like 2 years.
We're in season three of the podcast, and we talked for almost a year before.
Well, so maybe it's three.
I don't know.
Three and a half.
Anyway, I do not handle it well when there is injury to a child or child death.
Yeah.
Especially if I am not prepared for it. And that right there will put that book away so fast, you won't even see it blink. Mm-hmm. You can't even blink.
Which is why I'm a full-fledged proponent of trigger warnings, content warnings in every book, discussing everything that could mentally harm any of your readers.
Amen.
Yeah. If we're going down that road, like, I don't like it when animals get hurt. I don't like, you know, I'm with you. I don't like when children get hurt. But I'm talking more about like just like things that most people like and look for that I don't. You know, like you like, Lo likes miscommunication. She's totally fine with it. I cannot.
It took me a while to even tolerate miscommunication, because it's funny enough. You know that sound that's like, what you got there? Pork and beans? You had me? Well, I had that video, and the then you lost me was miscommunication. For a very long time, I couldn't do miscommunication. And then there was a whole situation in a book I read where I was like, do I not hate it? That's growth. But it has to be small. It can't be like huge where it takes up the whole book because I'm like speed reading. I'm like, come on, fix this shit.
Figure it out.
Which is why I love a good third act breakup.
Oh,
whoa.
I know.
I like the third act breakup, but I don't want it to be a breakup because between the characters. I want there to be an external force that forces them away from each other. Not just like we broke up because he's not doing the dishes, but I want, you know, somebody has come in and kidnapped her. Somebody has come in and you know, beat the hell out of him and is absconded with his woman or whatever.
Yeah.
I need that action.
I don't necessarily mind the emotional third act breakup where they're like, the greater good. I'm leaving you because I think you'll be better off without me. I don't mind that. I enjoy it, but I love a good, where's my wife? Go find her after being kidnapped in the third act. And then that reconnection.
I like secret baby. Most people hate that. Yeah.
I love how this turned into a positive ass fucking podcast. It went from what we DNF to what we like. Because a secret baby will get me every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, you know what I found that I loved? And I find myself searching for it, and Amy Dawes actually just gave it to me. The surrogate baby.
Ooh, oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
He wants to be a single dad. And she's like, okay, you can have my body for this time.
But that goes into a sex deal. And I love a sex deal.
I do too.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second. When you say secret baby, is that like they had a one night stand? She went her way. He went his way. She turned up pregnant and couldn't find him. Or oh my God, I'm pregnant and I didn't mean to. So it is
both. Okay. I like both. I like anything involving a baby besides having an actual one myself. Like one of my favorites, because I read primarily dark romance, is when they meet up, like it's a hot one night stand, or they start dating and like she's really into it. And then she finds out like he's a mob boss and she's like, I can't be dating a mob boss. This is horrible, you know? So then she like fucks off and like runs away from him and hides and then finds out she's pregnant. And then she's like, I have that. It's called Mine by, hang on, because I have that. Anyway, and then he finds her later because he's obsessed and she's like, what happened to my lady? And he finds her and she has like a 4-year-old that looks exactly like him. And he's like, what the fuck?
There is an Omega verse reverse harem that starts off with a one night stand when she's 18.
Mm.
And they never exchange names or anything. But she gets pregnant and decides to have the baby, who ends up being an alpha while she's a beta. She can't control the child. So she's working on trying to figure this out. Dad and his pack show up. There is so much tension and it was so delicious.
Is there Omega involved in this at all, in their pack, in their relationship?
I don't think so.
I want to read that. I really do. Because I've never read a book where there is no Omega in the relationship at all. And I want to see if I like that, because I like the soft, I like the slick, I love those things. And while I loved, let's go, Lola and the Millionaire, where our main FMC, like, you know, how you have your main character is in fact a beta. Now she's treated and loved like an Omega, but she is in fact a beta. And I loved that. So I want to see if I enjoy it where there's no Omega at all.
Have you read, let me make sure I got the name right, because it had a working title and then the real title. So give me just a second.
While you look for that, I'm going to pop in and say that's a trope I don't like. I don't like when there's a beta. I need there no TV and Omega. I have DNF because I start reading and I'm like, okay, this beta is going to turn into an Omega at some point. And she doesn't. I'm out.
Another trope I fucking love. Hidden Omega.
Yes.
Give it to me every time because I'm like, oh, look at her. Look at her going. She's a beta and she's like going through life. She's hee-haw, yeah. If y'all can see me right now, I'm like pretend walking, going through life, doing her thing, and then bam, Omega. And I'm like,
Or if she's hiding it, like she knows she's an Omega and she's hiding it, that's also hot. But if she's a beta beta, I'm not interested.
You read A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing by Sam Hall?
Okay. So I am a Sam Hall stan. I am obsessed with her Bear series she's doing right now. So let me check, because if she's written it, I most likely have read it. And that's, oh, yes, 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 yes. Isn't that the one where the stepsister does the?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That one was good.
I loved the progression of how this beta became an omega, and they like explained it scientifically as to how this could have happened, as opposed to it just being a, my parents gave me suppressants and I didn't know it.
Mm.
Who is it? Jessa Wilder and Kate King, I had to get it right, have a blissful Omegaverse. And it's, they're all in not an orphanage, but a foster home. Her and her guys, and they're fine with her being a beta. They, in fact, prefer that that she's a beta. And they want to take care of her. They still love her. Like, she's the center of their universe. She turns into an Omega. And there's, like, this whole, like, Omega school that every Omega has to go through, and then they become auctioned and bid. And they call the school to come get her from them.
Ooh.
They turn her the fuck in.
What the hell? Uh-uh.
Because they don't think they can take care of her. When I tell you the 50 shades of what the fuck I went through reading that. Now, Jessa and Kate can write a fucking book. I love them both.
Didn't they do The Gentleman? Was that Jessa Wilder?
Red-handed. Yeah, Red-handed. Yep. Okay. They did. They can write a Y choose. And one of my favorite things about them is all of their characters are very separate personalities. You can tell, like, even if they didn't title the chapters, the way they wrote each character, you could tell who was who, mm-hmm, from like the first few sentences every time.
This has turned into an Omegaverse chat talk as a per usual with the three of us.
Okay. Back to tropes we could live with.
Without. Yeah. I mean, does it have to be said that I need spice? Like, if it's not spice, I want nothing to do with it. I don't know if that's even, like, I don't even know if that counts.
I think that, I think we're all in agreement. I do not like closed door.
Closed door?
As if there's no on-page spice. Like,
Okay. I use fade to black. Gotcha.
Yeah. They're rushing. They're passionate. They're ripping each other's clothes off. And then her head hits the bed. She looks at him with doe eyes, and he can't wait to dive in. And then the next, it's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
And then the chapter is she stretches, feeling comfortably sore. And I'm like, how did she get comfortably sore? I want to know the details.
Show me the wiener.
Oh, I knew it was Secret Identity. Secret Identity. I love how this was supposed to be things we don't like. And now whatever.
It's fine. It's going to be things we don't like, and then things that most people don't like. That we like.
But for Secret Identity, I've been watching these Korean dramas.
Oh yes.
And hear about it's them. The one where she's like, she's a secret heiress, but her identity's hidden. I need that in books. I need it in books. But the way the dramas go, not anything watered down. I need a full Korean drama in books of Secret Identity. Immediately. If you're listening, any authors, I can help you write it. Just so you know.
Do it up.
I have read some good hidden identities. I will see if I can find that tag and shoot you a few titles that I really liked for that.
I'm excited. You just made my day.
I'm trying to go through my DNFs and be like, why did I DNF these books?
Oh my God.
My biggest reason for DNFing, though, is honestly, is that I'm a mood reader and something has hit me and I'm just not in the mood for it right now. And I have every intention of going back to it, but I just never do.
Yeah.
That is the biggest reason why I DNF a book.
This is going to sound so horrible of me. Redemption of a Bully. If so, let me preface this. I read an Omegaverse. It's very specific, Nat, because I do love a bully. I do love a bully, but it's
yeah,
very
I was going to say, what's going on? Because...
But...
Bully me in bed, please.
FMC, MMC. The FMC is getting bullied by external source.
Oh.
And then we get a book about the external source bully. I don't want to read it. I don't want her redemption. I don't give two shits if she's really having a shitty time at home because you have made me hate this character for 300 pages. I don't want a redemption arc outside of her, like outside of the main relationship. Mm. Oh, let him bully her. Let her bully him. I'm fine with that. But if there's an outside bully, I don't want them to be happy. I hope they have hot pillows for the rest of their life.
I agree. And on that note, I'm going to say what makes me DNF is when, like, in a dark romance or reading, like, a really mean kind of, like, take charge kind of guy. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, but I can't do that to her. I'm like, what the hell? I thought you were a badass mafia boss. What do you mean you can't do that to her? Like, I don't like it.
I like it when it happens in very, very specific settings. It has to be very specific settings. Mm-hmm. And it's not often that I'm like, oh, he changed his personality to not hurt her.
I have a problem when there is an external force that is bullying the female main character, but the male main character does not do anything to stop it or prevent it or to help her and just sits and watches it. And that drives me up the fucking wall.
Specifically if it's his family.
Oh.
If it's his sister or his mother that are treating her like crap because she's not good enough. Oh, baby, I need you to grow some balls. Matter of fact, put them in a jar and give them to your family members because obviously you don't need them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just nailed, I think, out of all the tropes we've talked about and all the ones I've thought about before, that one right there is my biggest it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No backbone, which means you can't bone me. You got to go. You got to go pack up. Get your little fingerling. Get it going.
Yeah. No, I don't like that either. But I don't like when there is a redemption arc for the male main hero. Like, in a dark romance. I don't want him to be redeemed. I want him to in a dark romance, which is what we are kind of mostly reading on this podcast.
I agree. Stay morally fucked.
Like when on that book that we read, Corey, this is where you're going to come in because I can never fucking remember the titles of anything. where he had her branded. Remember, he had her branded. It was a mafia.
You're not talking about Wraith.
Yes. Okay. I am talking about Wraith.
Okay, yeah. Beauty and Lies.
Beauty and Lies, thank you. It's a fantastic series, and I loved him because he stayed consistent and an asshole through the entire thing. Not once did he kind of, and that almost took me for like a shock because he branded her. Like he branded her. And then and remember when he tied her to the chair and she was getting tattooed and he ate her out a whole bunch? That was hot too. But he branded her in front of the entire like village and she was bawling her face off. And I thought he was going to like not do it. And he did it. And I was like, okay, I see you, Rafe. Good for you, man. Like, go get some.
I don't mind when an MMC goes soft for his girl. Outside of truly dark romance. Mm. I mean, it's like a more like... Maybe we're mafia adjacent where he's not the head or there's not a heavy mafia plot or a heavy like dark romance plot. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if he changes for her, like being sweet to her, but it's still like really badass to everybody else. Yeah. But if he goes from being, this is what you're talking about, Billy badass to crossing guard Mike, who waves hi to the kindergartners on their way to school every Monday morning, I'm asking what happened and how she broke this man. Because no, be so for real.
Yeah.
But I can be okay if like he's used to like if he's expected to like dog walk people and he doesn't exactly dog walk her. But I have a book for you, which I think it's Smokey by Sam Crescent. I haven't read it, but it just popped up on my like FYP where he thinks she did something. So and it's an MC. He has his see handle her ass like if she were anybody else.
Oh.
And I immediately thought of you. I was like, I'm going to have to send this to her.
I mean, yeah, we could talk about books we like too, because obviously we've been doing that because we try to be positive on this podcast. See how difficult it is to be negative?
It is so difficult. Okay, so if we're talking about things we love, A Good Revenge.
Mm.
The Destruction of Seven. It's, I want to say, three books, and it's very revenge meets Saw. Mm. His sister is friends with a group of girls, and she ends up killing herself because of how they treat her and torment her and things that are said. And so he plans his revenge out, where they are literally obliterated in the most gruesome ways.
I'm down.
He leaves our FMC for the last one. He's like, you're going to watch all of your friends go through this because you're the ringleader. And I want it to hurt. I want you to know that every moment of pain is because of the things you allowed to happen to my sister.
Nice.
And then, of course, what happens, yeah, happens. It's a romance for a reason.
Yes. So anything else we absolutely do not want to read, or I think we've mostly covered it.
Well, I know for you, Brothers squick you out.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Well, that's because it's, I don't like reverse harem or Why Choose. I don't like it in general. So that's like, it seems like incestual to me when it's like two brothers and a girl. I'm like, ugh. Or the twins, that's even worse. I'm like, oh my God. No.
Here, one of my favorite books of last year was it was a Why Choose MC. I told you guys the one where he doesn't grovel. Two of her guys are twins. And they're from opposite MCs. Great.
I need the title of this book.
Dragon Slayer by C.A. Renee.
Okay.
Of course it's by C.A. Renee.
Because I love RH and I love MC. So
when I tell you she goes through hell. Her MC that she was raised in is called the Dragons. And she is now, after everything she's been through, the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
Excellent.
If that gives you a clue into how this is fit to go.
Yes.
And I know she has another one. One of the FMC in her next group of books is in this book, and she's an assassin.
Ooh.
Yeah. CA writes some badass females, and that's another thing. I can do weak. I can do like damsel in distress. I cannot do, like you said, too stupid to live.
Yes.
But that's so weak, as in not I'm going through hell and I'm standing strong as hard as I can, but literally if the wind came, I'd fall over weak. I can't do that. I cannot.
That's exactly what I mean is, because Zoe Blake writes a lot of like innocent like heroines where they're like kind of just like regular girls. They're not like these badass. Some of them are, but some of them are just like these innocent like schoolgirls, more or less, like going through life. And then they get kind of in a whirlwind with this like mafia guy, and just that's what happens. But they're not doormats. You know what I mean? Like, it's the difference between a doormat and Too Stupid to Live and like somebody who's like, is just taken aback by this whole situation because it's not what they're used to.
I
like us, kidnapped by a mafia man. I'd be kind of like, okay, I have to fight and shoot and kill people. I'm down for that, but you're gonna have to teach me how to do a little bit more of the, like the hard stuff. I like that, but oh my God, I don't know. Like, no, I don't want to touch a gun. I can't. I cannot. Yeah. Why are you somebody that kills somebody for life if you're afraid to touch a gun?
Yeah.
Why?
I told Mr. Klein today for my unbirthday gift, I wanted a high-powered sniper rifle, and he told me absolutely fucking not. But I was watching the news, and that's what made me
I mean, if you came up with this just like out of the blue, hey babe, this is what I want, I could support it, and quite frankly would be very disappointed that you did not get it. But if you're watching the news and you want one, well, let's just plan next time with the timing that we say that next time.
Yeah.
So we can get you your high-powered rifle. Okay, so I think we're coming up on time.
Yeah,
let's
do some palate cleansers.
Okay.
Lo, why don't you tell us about some of these K-dramas? Because it doesn't have to be what you're reading. What's bringing you joy?
Oh, God. The heiress, the pampered princess, and her five trusted uncles. She marries this guy. She pretends she's poor and hopes that he'll fall for her for who she is.
Mm.
Well, three to 5 years of her supporting him, he has a mistress in her room, in her house, and the mother-in-law has been treating her like shit the whole time. Like for some reason in these K-dramas, they slap each other all the time. I would be... Anyway, so... Yeah,
that would not fly. You slap me once and I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
So they are slapping each other. They're mean to her, all the things. And then she's had enough because now he's like, I want a divorce. And she's like, don't regret this. He's like, I could never regret leaving somebody like you. And the girl that he's bringing in is pretending that she has the other woman's identity. And she's like, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to make you regret all 3 to 5 years that you've been fucking me over. So that's my palate cleanser. Plus an Amy Dawes 9-month contract, which is a pregnancy surrogacy romance.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it called? Sorry.
9-month contract.
That's hot. What's bringing you joy, Tori?
I am looking at getting a new kitten.
Oh, yes. You deserve a new kitten.
Mr. Klein has been very adamant that he will not accept me getting a cat other than a Maine Coon. And he thought that that would turn me away.
Uh-huh. They're so cute.
However, I found a kitten that is, it's a mixed breed, but Maine Coon dominant. So you don't have to pay all of the ridiculous fees that people charge for purebred Maine Coons.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a lot of the health issues that a full-bred Maine Coon would have. And he's tiny. I'm waiting on the shelter to call me back.
Amazing. Yay.
And Mr. Klein was like, fuck, I can't get out of this. I was like, no. No, you can't.
Mm-hmm. You deserve a fluffy kitty.
Since as passed, I want a kitten.
I understand that.
That's so exciting. So what's bringing you joy?
I am gardening. And that is something new and exciting and joyful in my life. And the other part that's bringing me joy is seeing Mr. Savage just building shit and shoveling dirt in a t-shirt.
There's in the 9-month contract, there's a scene where she's watching him cut wood with an axe. And that's just what I picture.
Yeah.
Right there for you. I love that for you.
It's a lot of fun. As we've talked about before, Lo, we're having a great time, but I am having to do a lot of sex deals. Like, please build me a planter for X, Y, and Z.
All right.
Today, we got like a shit ton of dirt delivered, and it is all in my driveway, and he's going to have to wheelbarrow that shit like to the backyard, and I'm already thinking about payment I will have to make from such a hefty...
Remember what they told you. Took a heavy ass meal.
Oh, I hate cooking. DoorDash, baby.
DoorDash got all my money.
I used to love cooking, and then I had kids, and they sucked the life out of me. Speaking of, which is giving me another part of joy, is I'm going to just wrap it up real quick, is my similar books you have recently bought list from Amazon, because I have things like Brutally His by Zoe Blake right next to The Little Blue Truck in Springtime. Just different vibes. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Tori, it's fantastic having you back. Stay tuned, because Future Nat will insert what's coming up, because we got to find a book that we like. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Hi, Future Nat here. Just wanted to pop in and let you know that next week I do have a reading assignment for you. Please read Does It Hurt by H.D. Carlton. So, happy reading. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, please don't forget to rate and review us on whichever podcast platform you listen on. Not only do we really appreciate those 5-star reviews, but they also help the algorithm suggest us to other listeners. And if you just can't get enough of us, please make sure you're following us on all our socials. We're @TriggerWarningRomance on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. If you want to connect with us and other Trigger Tribe members, join the Facebook group. It's Trigger Warning Romance, a dark romance podcast listener support group. You know we're always happy to hear from you, so please don't be shy with the book recs, episode ideas, or just say hello. Please slide into our DMs, email us at triggerwarningromance@gmail.com, or connect via our website, triggerwarningromance.com. Happy reading, everyone!